Call the April 1st Common Council meeting order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Here.
I'm here.
Here.
Present.
Here.
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 Here. We have a quorum. Please rise and join the pledge, please.
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we get started with the citizens' comment period, I want to let the Common Council and the citizens present to know that we've been operating on what we feel is tradition, relative to the three-minute rule. Well, not tradition, it's part of the city code. Citizen commentary, no person shall speak for longer than 3 minutes at each citizen, at each common council meeting, unless the city council shall direct otherwise to an individual. City council direction may take the form of unanimous consent. So, for those of you who believe that I'm rude by cutting people off, I'm adhering to the ordinance, which is my job, which is the paragraph above that. So, having said that, the key is to get to your point right away. Anyone wishing to speak?
This will be 1:39. My name is Jerry Fredrickson, 8016 South 60th Street. This is regarding the quarry monitoring form. The city already has a single form for all their complaints, and that form follows a process that moves through the city's department as it's necessary to evaluate, to take that complaint to the violator for the follow-up process to ensure fines are paid and that legal action can be taken if compliance is not met. Not so for the quarry. The quarry has a separate complaint form. The quarry does not follow the same protocol. Why is that? Isn't the quarry subject to zoning violations? Why doesn't the Rock or Walmart have a separate complaint form? In the future, it seems the best interest of the residents to make their complaints with the quarry using the same city complaint form as they would for any other complaint.
Thank you, Mr. Fredrickson. Ms. Erickson.
Jill Erickson, 8016 South 60th Street. As the council is meeting a day earlier than the usual schedule and have had less time to go through your voluminous packet, I'd just like to draw your attention to a couple of items regarding the Quarry Monitoring Committee. Items E6 and 7 calls for supplemental funds to be directed to the planning department for that department to perform services, as in more staff. Now, if we backtrack and go to item B2, city staffing of boards and commissions, the mayor has written a memo that calls for the temporary removal of staff support for the Quarry Monitoring Committee and the Parks Commission because of staff shortages in the planning department. Seems a little bit out of sync here. I think you got to talk about both of those things before you start yanking support for committees. It's especially untimely because at the last Common Council meeting, the council voted to amend the contract with Stantec to include a new survey of the quarry and because of those using the existing center lines, and they also voted to direct staff to send a letter to Payne and Dolan regarding the complaint of the quarry having blasted beyond its boundaries as outlined in the 2016 Stantec survey. And that should also include any language about fines or such violation. So why remove support right now, just as the council has tasked the committee to do something? I mean, it looks to us residents like as soon as we take a step forward, you want to cut us off at the knees. Lastly, as for the mayoral appointments on the agenda, who I don't see on the list is the reappointment of Alderwoman Wilhelm to the Quarry Monitoring Committee. Her appointment expires in 15 days, and yet the section requires that the QMC have two alderpersons serve on that committee. So why don't we table item E11, which is the citizen member appointment, which doesn't expire until May 31st, And FYI, yes, I have, as you've all suggested, if you're interested, submitted my volunteer form to serve on the Quarry Monitoring Committee. And I would do that, as I have attended every Quarry Monitoring Committee meeting since October, as well as these lovely meetings that involve the quarry. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else?
Lynn Callis, 8054 South 55th Street. I would also like to speak in support of Jill's appointment to the Quarry Monitoring Committee. I have also been to most of these meetings in the last couple months, and she is usually the one with the most information, even sometimes more so than the committee itself, and she has helped us all understand some of the workings that go on. And I've only seen your current appointee there once in all this time, so I'm just wondering if, you know, he's as interested as the rest of us are. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Mr. Plevin, good evening.
Good evening. May I approach the camera just to show a few things?
I don't think it's appropriate. I'll take your 3 minutes quickly.
I'm looking at the 2016 Ehlers report and just a few things. There is a request that I've seen for additional funds for Ballpark Commons. I spoke in front of this group since this project every year, 16, 17, 18, 19. And I state by the fact that the economics on this project don't make sense. One of the things here in the TID report, it talks about the budget north of Rawson on the original TID report for TID 5 is $18 million. The city did the infrastructure, gave funds, $18 million of that number was for that construction of a ballpark. People got excited by the sports village, a lot of retail. That is not coming through here. There's additional request, is not unforeseen in my opinion, to build on soft soil and do other things that you're having cost overruns. So I go back to the point, if this was a project in private industry and someone is over budget by the dollars that we're talking here with additional requests for additional funds south of Rawson for a project that will raise the taxes for the city of Franklin until the TID expires. The experts that did all this, whether it was the engineer who looked at the report to say that the budget to build on that land is correct, the people who did the projections, the city who signed off on it, who at the city looked at it, I would say when you're over by this dollar amount, who's in trouble? Who's the expert that someone's questioning, saying, you know, you gave me this. You signed off on this 2 or 3 years ago or a year ago, and we're off by this amount. Where is the self-criticism, the look at it, and saying, if we're going to get additional funds, do we feel really good about the information we're getting? I would say if this was private industry, there are people that are moved out of that job, suspended, or fired. So look at the dollar amounts compared to what the original project is, and what do we actually get it? And then I have another thing that I would say here, but if you look at where the economy is going, the yield curve for economics is inverted. It inverted about 2 weeks ago. That is a classic sign of a recession. A lot of things on the latest report show for the build is saying in 20 and 21, all these buildings are going to be built. That'll be in the middle of a recession for retail. I'm just saying, before you approve additional funds, look at the specter of if there is a recession, how likely are these projections going to be met? Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? That was, by the way, Mr. Plevely, lives in this
town. Jeff Klinkowitz, 8088 South 57th Street in Franklin. The first thing is I agree wholeheartedly with Jill. She should be on the Quarry Monitoring Committee. Andrew, the mayor's appointment, I disagree with him being renewed for another 3-year term. He is a project manager and superintendent for a company that does business with the quarry. His company has been awarded over $600,000 in contracts, so he definitely has a motive to why he's on the Quarry Monitoring Committee. I would prefer, I think Jill would be an excellent representative. I do think when we questioned Andrew at previous Quarry Monitoring Committee meetings, he said that he does not live near the quarry. He has never experienced a blast. A lot of residents just can't understand why he's on the quarry. What is his motive? The last thing was the last newsletter, the last city newsletter. In the back was a paragraph, a little area about the quarry. And at the quarry monitoring committee meeting back on January 31st, they spent a great deal of time editing this. None of these edits appear in this newsletter, and I was just wondering why. Thank you.
Anybody else?
Yes, my name is Bruce Demetris, 6024 West Allwood. And I'd just like to tack on, I think that the mayor's appointee for the quarry committee is an error. I think it's a conflict of interest. And here you have a young woman here that is dedicated. She's got her heart in the game. She tried once a while back to get on this committee, and it was blocked. She deserves to be on this committee because she is concerned about the citizens, unlike what I hear at these meetings. She is definitely concerned about our subdivision and should be on this committee, period. And I would hope if this comes to vote tonight, it's either postponed or it's voted down. Thank you.
Grant Johnson, 7374 South Cambridge Drive. Mayor, let's talk about your job. Is your job to hold everybody to 3 minutes or to run the city? Which one is it? Okay, great. Glad you answered that. So, as the CEO of the city, can you explain to me why the legal expenses on the ballpark common are so high and what the total amount is? Your job to run the city, you just said so. Tell me, what are they?
I'm not doing it back and forth.
Come on, tell me. It's at 588 at least, 588,000. For everybody sitting here, to put that in perspective, Kenosha, when they did a TIF with Baxter, I believe, $150,000 in legal expenses. Something's wrong there. G14, I hope that goes off the bid. And Mayor, expect a few calls this week. I hope you take them from people.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. Seaver, Dave.
Orville Seaver, 3020 West Acre. A few weeks ago, we had a bit of a word exchange here, if you will, between a citizen who exceeded a three-minute time limit, and now we have a police officer sitting here at the request of the mayor because he's afraid of somebody's words. Not a single person in this room has even initiated or tried any kind of violent action, just other than words. Mayor, if you're that afraid of your constituents, do us all a favor. Do yourself a favor. Do the citizens of the city a favor. Resign. Resign before you become the next Mark Miazga.
Thank you, Mr. Seaver. Anyone else? Ms. Gant, good evening.
Thank you. I know I'm short leeway. Thank you. Data Gant, 9011 West Hawthorne Lane. I wanted to discuss a couple items on items 6 and 7 on the agenda this evening. It appears that the city is not following their established procedures. Government is about proper process. The process and procedures for any supplemental or additional staffing needs to follow the proper procedures for the civil service system. Why should these positions or consultants be any different than any other process for city staffing? Why is the personnel committee being bypassed? Supervision, reporting, and accountability should follow state and federal laws. And why are the taxpayers paying for this additional staffing? Shouldn't the inspection fees be paying for these services? I did not see this staffing as part of any personnel committee agenda item. Why hasn't this plan relating the staffing and funding been on the personnel committee? Numerous citizens have stated that contractors or specialized staff with experience in landfills and the complexities of this larger projects should have been obtained when this project was proposed, including engineering and inspection. Either the city should have hired consultants to manage and supervise this project or hire consultants to manage the other impacted departments. And I want to read you the personnel committee right from the city website. Powers and duties of the personnel committee. The personnel committee advises the common council on matters relating to personnel policies and practices, compensation and benefits, labor relations and collective bargaining, employee relations, staffing and organizational structure. Specific responsibilities include, but are not limited to, I'll go down to number 10, make recommendations for their organizational structure and staffing levels of the departments of the city. Number 11, review department requests for creation, deletion, relocation, and relocation of positions. Also, number 4 says devise, implement, and maintain a mechanism for performance evaluation of employees. So obviously, some sort of reporting or accountability should be created to supervise these staffing that's going to be added, which I believe is a result of the Ballpark Commons overwhelming the city staff. Thank you for your time.
Mike Wegebauer, 8108 South 58th Street. I just wanted to echo my neighbor's concerns with Andrew Ruffing being assigned to the Employee Management Committee. I think he's got a conflict of interest in his business, and he lives too far away. I also like to see if we can get a motion from the council to possibly put in a rule or something in place where any resident that's assigned to the committee be a resident of the subdivisions directly across the street from the quarry. It almost takes me 3 minutes to get up here, so I apologize. Scott Solansky, 8565 South 68th Street, Frank, Wisconsin. I understand there's going to be a finance committee meeting tomorrow, and if you recall, Mr. Mayor, I had sent out an email asking that when the Ehlers report on the pro forma review and financial analysis for the potential changes to the TIF district financing was completed, how would a resident get a copy of that? And so has that pro forma been completed? So there's going to be a finance meeting tomorrow, and they won't have the results from Ehlers' analysis?
Draft copy.
We'll have a draft copy.
Okay. What's the difference? How much time is between a draft and a final copy?
Depends.
Number two is that a while back I'd also asked you who was going to be the product manager for this project, and you had indicated it would be Nick Fuchs, and obviously he's gone on to better things. He's not here, right?
Right.
Okay. So I'm wondering, have you appointed someone else? And the reason I mentioned to you is I've got some questions. And I always go through the very illustrious and helpful city clerk. And rather than go through her all the time, because she's got other projects to work on, if there was someone here that I could contact directly, and they could say, yeah, I'll get that for you, I'll get, and he could be the go-between.
It's a she.
Is it she?
Kelly Berg.
B-E-R-G. And she works for? Okay. The last thing is that on G, your very last thing, it's a great idea to get someone to look at making wireless communication widely used here at Common Council.
Anyone else? Ms. Mills.
Thank you very much. This has to do with the quarry and the survey that hopefully is going to be done. It's my understanding that you need a certified surveying firm with credentials to do that work if the survey is going to be considered legal, and that we've had that quarry surveyed before more than once, but nobody ever bothers to mark the surveying, the surveying that was done. And it just seems to me foolish to have a survey taken and not to put markers up indicating where those boundaries are on all four sides of that quarry. So if you're going to survey it, it would be my suggestion, based on the fact that when I was talking to the quarry people, I asked them how long they thought the quarry would last, and they said at least 50 years they could quarry that, if not more. And then I asked them how long it would take to fill it with water, and they said, well, they've got groundwater seeping in, and they said maybe 40 years. So you're talking almost another century before they're done with that quarry. So that if you're going to spend taxpayer money and survey something, it seems to me you should survey it right once, be done with it, and then put up markers all the way around that quarry that will last hopefully for years and years and years to come. If you would put stainless steel pipe in the ground and cement it in there, that doesn't rust, it'll last for ages, and put in tall pipe so that the quarry people can see it from the quarry, taxpayers can see it from the road, so everyone knows where that boundary is going all the way around the quarry, it would be very helpful. I mean, I think the taxpayers would be secure, and then nobody has to worry whether the quarry has blasted beyond the boundary, because you can easily see where that boundary is, and you're not going to be reinventing the wheel year after year after year because you've never solved this problem. And it seems to me when they do an aerial shot, they can see all those markers going all the way around the quarry. You can see if they've blasted outside of it. So I would think it would be my suggestion that when you survey that you also mark it, and that it be put in writing in some way, that those markers cannot be distorted by vegetation and whatnot, so no one can see them. Did you have a?
I'm not done. Oh, go ahead. Oh,
3 minutes.
Senator Craig, he's proud of the fact that he's sponsoring legislation regarding the prostitution and local control of hotels and motels. Announcement from the Common Council, we will have a committee of the whole, 6 o'clock Monday, April 15th. I anticipate two rather lengthy agenda items, so bring your calls. Item C is the memo I sent to you about regarding committee city staffing for boards and commissions. Contrary to the common school of thought being perpetrated, this is not an assault on any committee or any pair of committees. It's a necessity based on the current workload and the staff that we have currently. If they're going to be working nights, I want them to be producing for the city.
Mayor, I would like to make a comment regarding that item. Because I have information that the Common Council's members might be interested in, then citizens as well.
Alderman Wilhelm.
I guess the citizens that brought this up said that they'd ask that you reconsider taking staff support until after items G6 and G7, which actually reinstates funding and positioning. I'm also questioning whether taking Mr. Deedle off the Quarry Monitoring Committee at a one meeting a month is going to really make a huge difference in planning staff. And I'd also like to remind the council members that the Parks Commission has to put together some pretty technical agendas, and agendas require to be posted properly for public meetings laws, which makes me think that if you're going to try to get a citizen member to write an agenda, then you're going to have to run this by the city attorney, and now you're using city attorney time, and there are going to be some costs involved with that, so I don't think that this is the best move